This is a production of Cornell University.
Hey, morning, everybody, or afternoon. I think we'll go ahead and get started. Sorry, I think my clock on my computer is a little bit off, so I'm not sure if it's actually 12:15 or if I've gone past. But we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Can somebody make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting in chat, if you will? All right, so moved and approved. Hey, we'll go ahead and take roll call if that's all right after just digitally. Before we get into the business of the day, I want to quickly apologize for the haphazardness of the schedule. Things are evolving and moving very quickly. And actually, during the staff forum from last week, all the panelists agreed that it was a very, very good experience. It was positive and very helpful for the staff. So they wanted to take they basically agreed that they would want to do another one. And I think that these are incredibly important for us to be able to connect with folks and hopefully answer as many questions as possible. So we just jumped on the opportunity. But I know that kind of moving around the EA meeting messes with some committees. I know Carrie had to reschedule hers and such. So thank you for your patience. I appreciate everybody kind of rolling with these. We may do many more staff forums in the future over the lunch hour, which seems to be the consensus best time, obviously. So just kind of stay tuned to emails and everything like that as we go forward. Let's get right into the business of the day. Going with that, I would like to introduce Annalisa Raymer. She's going to be presenting on CLASP, and we'll go into her presentation and take a few questions afterwards. So I will just turn the floor over to you.
Okay, well, thank you, Adam. And thank you, Marcy, and Hey, and all the members of the Education Committee who met with Sasha Indo and Sue Berry and I, who are the staff of CLASP. And we're here today to invite your thinking on a situation that we find ourselves in. And most of you already know what CLASP is, but just to give a little background, it's a program that has two faces. And so one side is an adult education program for Cornell employees, primarily service employees, and then the other hand is curriculum for Cornell students, primarily undergrads, in adult learning and designing and facilitating for education. So we've been in a little situation since I came on, at least, and probably since the demise of the education department, where all of our money comes from one side of that two-faced component, and yet we need the other side too be able to do the work. So I'm going to try to share my screen now. We'll see if that works. Okay.
Yeah, it's working on this end.
Okay, except I'm in the wrong place and I can't get my, here we go. Boop, 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 boop. You just got a preview there. Okay, so adult and lifelong learning, CLASP, community learning and service partnerships. And like I said, I know most of you are already familiar with it, but this is a brochure from a recent era. So we're all about any person, any study, any place. So we really take that Cornell motto to heart. And an outline of what I'd like to do today is just a bit of background and then a short film that some of you have seen this before, and then to invite your thinking and your ideas on this bind that we find ourselves in that has to do with our money coming from the employee benefit pool and yet us needing to have a deep involvement in the academic side and not having any, and restrictions on the money and not having input from funds from the academic side. So as you know, people can request to study, employees can request to study pretty much anything they're interested in, but we have this core set that you see of things that come up often. And then when we do get requests for other types of subjects and topics, then we, you know, see who amongst our students are able to do this. And so the way that it works is one student and one employee become learning partners, and they all focus on the adult's goals. So the student X is an educational mentor. So they take what they learn in class about how to design and facilitate learning, and they work with their adult learning partner, and they are charged with supporting that partner as a peer and as an interested co-learner, co-educator. So it's not tutoring in that we don't pretend that our students are teachers and employees are the learners. We set it up as a mutual co-learning reciprocal kind of relationship, but the focus is on the adult learner's goals. And so people meet together once a week for approximately 8 to 9 weeks when the campus is open. We haven't moved online with this yet. A lot of our participants are learning things about how to use the computer and stuff. So it just, we weren't set up and we didn't know how many people could actually participate online. So we began back in the academic year 89-90. And it's always been a social justice-minded reciprocal education program from the get-go. And so some of you may know this history about Al Davidoff, who was the first chapter president of the UAW local, and human ecology students coming together to say, how can we address some of the working conditions of service workers at the time and inequity in the community writ large? So he, Al, was a student at Cornell working as a janitor, and he saw firsthand that custodians were not being treated well in terms of people of color, and women were at the bottom of the employment ladder, and that people were not earning a livable wage. And so he stayed around after he graduated and worked, took part in the work that the employees were already doing to organize a union. So that union and student connection has been there from the get-go. Somewhere along the line, class moved from human ecology to CALS to be part of the education department, which made utter sense in my view, but I wasn't here at the time, so don't really know all this history either. But now, today, we don't have an education department, as you know. We don't have a degree or a major in education. And so while Cornell does offer these courses, and they include, you know, as you can imagine, universally transferable skills. What job do you have that it would not be handy to learn how to design and facilitate learning? But students have little occasion to find us, and they have no extrinsic reason to take part. They have lots of intrinsic reasons, but it's not going to help them fulfill their major requirements. They do find us, though, and as you can see, most of our participants on the student side come from CALS, from the College of Ag and Life Science. And I was actually surprised to see how many came from Arts and Sciences, because Arts and Sciences has pretty strict limits on how many classes people can take outside of Arts and Sciences.
Hey, Anna, Lisa?
Yeah.
This is Chris. You said, as you can see, and I think we're seeing the slide 10 for your PowerPoint. I think you might be on the pie chart. Sometimes when you're doing the Zoom and a PowerPoint and have dual monitors, it like throws the presentation view on one screen. So
okay, so you're on 10?
We're on 10 is what we've seen this whole time.
This whole time?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't know if I should interrupt.
Thank you. So what do I do then? If I go to 11, do you see that?
No.
Oh, dang. What do I do? Anybody know what to do?
I would try, if you're having in presentation or full screen view, I would try just hitting escape and so that it gets out of that. And
yeah.
Then maybe, yeah, so now we can see you're on slide 11 and your mouse moving. So if you just leave it at that, then that's the easiest way to keep going without having to get too fancy.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for telling me. Yeah, you're right. It looked fine at my end. Okay. So yeah. So let me just go back to, this is where the students come from.
Thank you. Sorry.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Right. So for the students who do find us, we have this curriculum. Is this the one you've been looking at the whole time?
Yeah, I'm good at that. I know this one.
Oh, you're good with that one. Okay. All right. So then with the employees, who, like I said, primarily we partner with UAW service workers, members of the UAW local, but not necessarily. So if we have more students than we have UAW applicants, then we do work with other employees from across the university. So like I mentioned earlier, we have a core range of topics in levels from adult basic ed to college study buddy, because you know, as you know, employees can take advantage of the employee degree program and study college courses. Our most popular are computer skills, include from how do I turn on my computer to, you know, how can I be a whiz at Excel? And English improvement are the most requested. But like I said, we get all kinds of things, as you can see there. So in terms of what we get asked for, computer is the biggest one. And then ESL and English conversation is a bit of a hedge because more people would really like English as a second language. But we haven't had good, we haven't had bandwidth to equip students to be teachers of English. So we've been offering these conversation classes and just a little bit of ESL when we could offer a teaching English class. And we are very fortunate right now to have Sasha Endo with us, who is indeed an English teacher. And so she's the part-time program liaison, and I'll introduce the staff in a bit. So because of this, working across diversity in terms of gender and age and sexuality and income and education levels, we were recognized last year with the Perkins Prize. And this was an acknowledgement of the rich relationships that come out of this one-on-one model. And that has been why I think Mary Opperman has been so supportive of the program and in funding the program, because she really wants Cornell students who are going to, you know, go out in the world and be influential people to understand life from other walks of life besides where they grew up on Long Island or wherever. So do I have time, Adam, to show a short film that's under 5 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see if I can do that now. All right, are you seeing this?
No,
not yet.
You don't see a film?
No, it's still your PowerPoint.
The part of class that I like.
Okay, well, let me get out of this then.
What you might have done is when you shared the screen, share just PowerPoint, because we don't generally see your desktop. One way to do it is post a link in the chat. And then we could watch it later, but okay. It's always a high wire act to try to stream video through the stream.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you for educating me, because this is going to be like really handy when I start teaching next week online. All right. So what do you see right now?
See a very strange, okay. The PowerPoint is back.
All right, so pretend you saw this film that had all these great quotes in it about how much it means to people on both sides of the equation and for the managers too. Oh boy, I have a learning curve here. I can see that.
If you want, we can share it with the member. If you have like a link or something, we can share it with our members after the meeting.
Yeah, I will do that. I'll put it, or you know what, Sasha or Sue could, or probably Sasha, because Sue's in the car. Sasha, could you please share the link to the YouTube version? Maybe. Okay, so I'll go and introduce them. Then Sasha comes to us from BOCES, where she has been a teacher of English to adults. And when she and her colleagues there left BOCES to start Open Doors English downtown, Sasha teaches there half-time and works as the program liaison for us half-time. Also on the staff is Sue Berry, who came to us from DSOCH, who, as you know, is a member of EA and is our program coordinator manager. And then we have a arrangement with facilities for a custodian to have a professional development internship with us 6 hours a week. And before BP, before pandemic, that was Justine Costanza. So that's a year-long internal rotation for 6 hours a week. So I'm the only full-time person there. I'm a lecturer and director. So that is us. So here comes the bind. Are you seeing something that says misalignment between funding and location?
Yes.
Okay, great. So physically, the class program is located in the Engage Cornell Hub, and that is by design an expressly student space. So we lost our Adult Education Resource Center because it became part of the engagement hub. We lost an office. There's some loss there. But the problem is that because that is expressly student space, adult learners never come in there. I can count on one hand the time an adult learner has come in there. And it doesn't, you know, it's not hospitable. It's not welcoming to, it looks like a student hangout, which is what it is. So we're expected to not only take part in the hub as one of the component programs of Engage Cornell, but also to pay a cost share of everything, all the costs related to the hub. And our funding does not, that's not legal under our funding. And then another misalignment is the nature of the work, particularly with my responsibilities, because all the courses do not fulfill requirements for any majors, and we depend on students in order to have this program with adult learners, it's a problem that we don't have any natural student stream. We don't have anybody coming to us because they need our courses. So, and also the configuration that it takes to keep our courses viable in the academic fabric is a lot of involvement. When I came, they were at illegal times. They didn't count for anything. They were scheduled for illegal, out of sync numbers of credits for what the work was and stuff like that. So we do count for several minors, for about 6 minors. And now we're legal. And now we have recognition as community engaged courses. And we fulfill some distribution requirements for Cal's graduation, not for majors, but for, you know, things to make a well-rounded student. So that puts me in a situation where I need to be an active participant in life of the academic department, which is DSOCH now, which is becoming global development. And I need to participate in things like the Cal's curriculum committee and things like that, just to know enough, really, to keep the courses legit. So since all of our money comes from the employee benefit pool, it has become more, over time, it's become increasingly clear to me what that does and does not allow. So allowable costs include compensation for Sasha and for Sue, and for me, for the work that has to do with the employees. Also covered are things, the cost of the celebration lunch we have at least once a year, sometimes at the end of each semester, recognizing the accomplishments of the learning partners, educational resources for the learners, and things like the Trellis magazine that showcases adult work and brochures and stuff like that. So if it's about the employees, that's legal. So what is not allowed is anything directly benefiting the students, including, you know, the hub keeps them in coffee and whatever, you know, anytime they want to drop by, office supplies and materials, as well as things like a percentage of installing flat screens TVs for the students and deciding to get this non-functioning dumb water cooler and shredding and stuff like that. Stuff that we never, when we were just class, we never paid for this kind of stuff. We wanted coffee, we brought our own coffee. We didn't, you know, do this. And even utilities and maintenance. So that puts us in a situation where, one, we're supposed to take part in the hub, spend time in the hub, which is not okay, especially for me to do in terms of legally what I can do. And then we're supposed to pay for this stuff that we have no control over, no say over. And yet the hub will feel, and does feel, that we're not being, it's not fair, it's not equitable if we don't pay. So while the benefit pool has been carrying the salary in the interim of my position, since the education department closed, we've been getting very clear, direct. Sometimes we're told that won't continue, and sometimes we're told that will be very hard to continue. And as you can imagine, you know, given what we're under now, that's even harder to continue. So this is Diana Marsh speaking, Mary's senior financial person, saying, you know, that it's not appropriate for the benefit pool to be paying the faculty position, but it is appropriate for the benefit pool to pay for the staff positions, those two part-time positions. So here we are, and we would love to hear, and I think I speak for Sasha and Sue both too, ideas about how do we establish a student stream, how do we get a commitment of academic funding for the faculty position, and how do we relocate to when this is where Cal's put us. And I'm going to close this PowerPoint and quit sharing my screen. Thank you for your attention. Sorry, it was on slide 11 forever.
No problem at all. This is a new experience for all of us. So questions from any of our members. If you can either raise your hand, use the raise your hand function, or let me know in chat that you'd like to speak, and I will be scanning and recognizing as we go. Any questions?
Can you ask if Sue or Sasha wants to add anything?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. Because I actually have my video going. I stopped at Stewart Park and I've got a really nice backdrop, but I can't show you. I don't really have anything to add. I think that Annalisa covered it really well, but I'm unmuted for questions or anything else, Annalisa.
Okay, let's see if Sasha has anything to add. Sasha, you're muted.
Same here. I'm excited about questions. And I think one thing is just the amazing quotes that you hear from the participants of both the employees and the students. Just people saying, you know, that they really got to know someone that they never would have gotten to know. A lot of information about people learning something they'd never thought they'd have the chance to learn before. You know, some of our employees have said they never knew they had a Cornell email or never knew how to use it, had never seen their pay stub because it was in Workday and they never knew how to use Workday before. And a lot of students saying that this has been a really formative experience for them going into education in the future. So we just want to make sure those things all keep going, but we're not sure that the budget will allow that.
So I guess I will put our emails in the chat, and if anybody has a bright idea that they would like to share with us, that would be terrific. I am conscious of not taking up too much of your time, but we'd love to hear your ideas.
No, we really appreciate you you joining us today. I may have been muted a little bit ago. I was just saying, as is often is the case, especially with so much going on, the questions may come later. So okay. If you don't mind.
I do have one question.
Okay, go ahead, Brian.
So, Annalisa, I know that we have custodians that are taking part of the program now. With this change in circumstances, how's it affecting them?
Well, Sasha, do you want to take that? Sasha has emailed customized resources to each person. We cannot require the students to continue by online. But, Sasha, you want to reply to Brian?
Yeah, so I've emailed each of the employees with some online resources that match the thing that they were learning. But what I'm finding is that, you know, for the employees who were learning how to use computers or things like that, they've had a really hard time. Like, they'll email me back questions, and it's really hard to explain how to use it. And so it's a hard transition. I wish we had enough time before this happened to, like, show people how to use the resources before they were not in front of us. But yeah, we're trying to do it by email, and it's been hard so far.
Thank you. Thank you for all you guys do. I know it's a wonderful program, and I really enjoy seeing the staff taking advantage of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for being a supportive supervisor.
Yeah, so I think if you're okay with it, just putting your emails in chat, or we can forward them around to the members and everything. We may come up with some questions after the fact. But again, thank you all so much for everything you do. This is a very trying time, especially for training programs. My program is a training and education program as well. So it's difficult, but we'll all get through it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And thank you.
Showing me that I didn't know how to do Zoom. Yay.
Yes, thank you, Chris, for being our on-site remote wizard of all for problems. I appreciate that.
IT representative in the house. There is two links, though. It looks a little bit more complicated. Sadly, there isn't a Cornell page, but I'm going to send it to the AV team to go get one. But it is, there's an optimized for full screen video and share computer sound. So you would want both of those things. And I did send it in a link in the chat room here, as well as directly to you, Annalisa. Good luck next week.
Thank you very much.
So let's move on. If everybody's all right with that, I know, like I said earlier, committees kind of got messed up a little bit because we had to reshuffle the meeting, but let's go ahead with the executive committee. Hey, do you have any report? Or
hi, everyone. I don't know if everybody was able to tune into last week's COVID forum. It looks like we had over 2,500 people log in at its peak, and we had just under 150 comments, questions come in. I know that there were a lot of questions that were asked that we weren't able to address. I'm sifting through the questions now and trying to get a sense of which ones are relevant and which ones, you know, are populating and kind of coming up so that we can add those to a list for the upcoming COVID forum so that we can try to address those issues. I think a lot of what we're seeing is staff members, as this situation evolves, have different questions. And so it's difficult to kind of collect that feedback now and then try to incorporate it in the COVID forms, but I'm doing the best that I can to take everything and try to moderate it appropriately and ask the right questions. I know so many people have so many questions, and I hope that through these COVID forums, people are able to get some of these questions answered or any sort of reassurance. I know there has been some sense of unrest and a lot of people feeling, uncertain in these very different, strange times that we find ourselves in. So just preparing for another COVID forum, sifting through the questions and trying to prepare for the next one is sort of the priority right now. So that is sort of the update from me. If you have any important topics that weren't covered in the past two COVID forums, feel free to send me an email and then I'll add to this ongoing list that I have of additional questions. But we're trying to get to as many questions as we can. It's just there's such a limitation of time. But that's the update.
All right. Thanks. Hey, any questions? Seeing none. Let's move on to communications and awards. Carrie?
Hey, how are you all? I don't have much of a report. We haven't met due to some scheduling conflicts, and it's looking like some of the things we were working towards doing may not happen. If you read the email from the provost today, so discretionary funds and all. We've been trying to be active on the Facebook channel, just trying to post uplifting stories and things from a staff angle that pop up. Happy to, you know, hear feedback or ideas or whatnot for what else we might be able to do. That's it.
Thanks, Carrie. Any questions? It doesn't look like, oh, Ashley, go ahead.
On that note, Carrie, I had a constituent reach out to me earlier this morning, basically, you know, bringing attention to it. And I know that we've said it a lot in these forums of thanking the executive team and senior leadership. But my constituent recommended finding some way that the EA, kind of representing the bigger, you know, the greater staff population, of finding it a way to say thank you to these executives. Whether that's creating a website page or I did notice that we're very active on Facebook, maybe putting out a Facebook post with a big thank you and allowing anybody who follows us to kind of comment back, because our executive team is literally working around the clock constantly for the past 3 weeks. So just finding a way to say thank you from the EA, but also allowing staff members to also have their own way to say thank you. So that just happened to come up this morning. So this all kind of timed out well.
Good idea. All right. We'll try that. Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
I can throw in there that I started a resolution thanking the administration and like a lot of the co-working people that are doing all the good stuff in the UA. And I'm still looking for any kind of feedback. So ideally we can sort of maybe just jointly pass it. And so I'll send out the box link to it so that people can see it. I wrote a very, very hasty draft that says like, thank you, we love you. Hopefully we'll be able to high five soon. So it is, you know, trying to be a little bit, you know, just placeholder for thoughts. So I think that's one way to do it as well.
All right, anyone else? All right, if not, let's go to education. Marcy?
Yep, okay, so we just met briefly this morning and discussed the emails that we've received from Deb Billups regarding like opportunities that are available for people to take some classes online. And I reached out to her too. I wanted to see if only managers get that. Do people who've only taken CU Learn classes get those messages? But I really think, Carrie, maybe if we could have some kind of a posting on Facebook promoting the CU Learn programs, there might be some people who don't have a lot to do at home. Maybe this is a good opportunity for them to take some classes, whether it's just personal development or, you know, brushing up your Microsoft, you know, Excel things on your own with CU Learn or other things that you can learn. Looking at the CU Learn catalog, there's a lot of classes and it kind of lists some categories and stuff. So you can just whatever you wanted to take. So basically just promoting it. There isn't a lot, you know, other else things that I can think of. Everyone's pretty concerned about the email that went out earlier. So that was for the education.
And we'll definitely be discussing that here in a bit during open discussion. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Marcy? All right. Seeing none. Let's go to, oh, okay. Looks like Christy just put something in the chat about having to sign off, but no reports. All right, benefits and policy. Brian.
Sorry for the delay. Trying to juggle a couple things on my desktop at once. So since the last time I met with you, I met with Alan Bishop, Gordon Barger, and Lauren Jacoby. And discussed what the work we're doing on the bereavement policy. I want to bring that discussion back to the group, the BBC, at our next meeting, which I have to schedule. We haven't had one since the last one. There was a couple questions that they answered, and a lot of people think that just because Cornell's self-insured, that they can decide what the insurance will do. It doesn't happen like that. It's a little bit more complicated because of laws and insurance carriers. So they kind of debunked that theory, and I wanted to share that with the group as well. But it was a good meeting. I got notes on it, and I'll be following up with the BPC on that, and I'm hoping to schedule another meeting next week. That's about it.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Any questions for Brian? Sorry for the background noise, everybody. My house is very close to a busy road.
I thought a plane was landing.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Okay, so let's see. Let's move to elections. Jessica?
Yep. So, can you guys hear me? Okay. We have a meeting this afternoon right after this one, and we're still working on the resolution to postpone elections. Karen's going to help us with that as the parliamentarian, and we are going to talk about the idea Andrea raised at our last meeting of working on looking at the seats as they are now, since we won't be doing elections for the next few months. So we'll keep everybody posted on that.
All right, any questions? Okay, doesn't look like we have any. Thanks, everybody. I know that, again, things are a bit jumbled right now, but I appreciate you all continuing your work and trying to meet as best you can. Let's move into open discussion. Very quickly, I think that there's a few key items to discuss. Obviously, you all saw the email that went out earlier today regarding operations and the hiring freeze and everything like that. I do want to talk about that very briefly. For those of you who may not be aware, we should see some communication on this later today, but there will be another all staff Q&A forum Wednesday, same time. I believe the same panelists are all going to be there, but we should see something go out about that this afternoon. Again, we have the university's highest license for participation. It's what I think 10,000 participants. So feel free to promote this one as you did so well the last one. Share it with staff, because we should be just fine for getting plenty of people to join and participate. And there will likely be a lot of new questions and anxiety out there since that email went out. The other thing, thank you, Chris, for taking the initiative in the UA and working on a resolution to thank senior staff or thank university leadership. I would like us to put something to do a resolution at minimum in recognition of university leadership's efforts. Chris, I can't remember if you mentioned that you would put that on the box, but I think I would personally like all of us to be co-sponsors on it, a unified statement from all of the EA, and we can kind of work on the language together remotely. But let's try to get that out there. We have the ability to do things remotely, even outside of our regularly scheduled meetings. So let's move forward on that and as quickly as possible, because other than me mentioning it during the staff forums, I think we should use any other venues we can to show our appreciation. Okay, so that's all I wanted to say. There are a few questions coming in. A few people who want to speak, I'll just do it in order. Chris, can you go ahead? And then I see everybody who's typing in chat and raising their hand. I will get to everybody in order. Chris, go ahead.
So, hello, everybody. It's really good to see everybody on now the third week from home, working from home for some of us. I wanted to talk about the circulator for a minute. Apparently, this is the year that all of my get together and be happy together initiatives are being killed by Mother Nature. But the things that are going on about the circulator is that the student assembly actually passed it. Students like to get things done. So on February 27th, they did go ahead and pass the resolution. The GPSA also reached out to me and said, well, what do you think about doing this? And I said, there's really like three options. And, you know, I'm an employee. I'm concerned about finances. I'm concerned about people's jobs more than having a fancy new bus. But it is pending business that is on the floor of the UA, the GPSA, and the EA. So the options seem to be the following. One, have a vote and pass it, hopefully, or just have a vote and see what happens. What if it does pass, it goes to the president, and then basically we're making a recommendation. So she can say, hey, this is a good idea. It's not the right time for this idea, so let's talk about it later. But it gets it off of the floor and out of our table. It doesn't have to be through too many twists and turns of transitions of the new people in the assemblies. I think that it is a reasonable idea to do that since it is like a five-year project. It might be, and this is a time where a lot of things are being reevaluated. I'm not necessarily advocating for putting additional resources towards it, but even if we just passed it and said, or voted, and then if it passed, said, hey, this is something that we need to leave people to think about as we move forward. The second one would be, don't pass, don't do anything. Don't take a vote. Just let it sit there. When our term expires, the people from next year pick up on it and decide what they want to do. The third one would be withdrawal. I don't know what that's like. I don't like that. So I'm looking for anyone's thoughts or advice. I do understand that it is not a great time, and that if we push it out and try to actually take a vote, if it does go someplace, it might not be taken seriously. And I totally get that, but it's sort of one of these things that we've never really done or run into before where something is stuck. And I'd like anybody's advice from there on what do they think that we should do. With the timetable of by the end of April is sort of when we would want to be taking some action.
Thanks, Chris. Let's move to Laura. You wanted to speak on the CJC, very important issue that is got some updates.
I just wanted to say that the CJC is meeting every week. We've finished the first part of the student code of conduct, the violations section. Right now we're working on the procedural section. It's my understanding that the first part, the violations section, was going to go before the UA or get sent to the UA, hopefully already. For review. Let me know if it hasn't gotten there, because I think that was the plan for that first part. The second part, the violations part, is the procedural part is what happens when a violation occurs, and there's a lot of detail that goes into that. We have a draft from council, and then we have another document we've been working from. We've been trying to figure out how to blend the different approaches, and it's a lot of work. So we're still working on that. We're still spending about an hour and a half every week plowing through that. And the plan is to have the procedure section done, I think, within the next 3 weeks is what we had hoped, before the end of April for certain. So,
can I add something?
Yep, sure.
Go ahead. Hi. I think the important thing for us, really, the public comment piece is really concerning since nobody's on campus. So when it does open to public comment, we're really going to need staff support to getting it out there and making sure we have like a critical mass of public comment so we can move it forward. That's a piece that we were concerned about, but there is pushback that this has been something that's been on the docket for 2 years and we really need to keep moving forward. But the public comment piece, we're going to need some help on.
Right. Yeah. The feedback we had was that this is not something that we can delay due to the crisis. We just need to keep moving it forward as if there were no crisis.
Correct. Or else they're going to take it out of our hands and do it on their own.
Right.
And just to remind everybody, CJC is the Codes and Judicial Committee on the University Assembly, and they're working on the Code of Conduct, which, again, is a very critical issue that we still needs to get done. When we're ready to go, everybody who's on the UA will be asking all of you on the EA to really help out with that public comment period. Thank you, Laura and Jen, for all your hard work. I know this is really, really hard work on top of your regular jobs and everything like that. So I just want to commend you for all that you're doing there. This is not an easy thing to come up with. So thank you.
Well, got it.
All right. So Brandon, go ahead.
All right. Can you hear me? Good?
Yes, just fine.
Okay. First, it's a good thing that I'm not running Who Gets to Talk. Jen, I might not have let you talk with that background there. That would have on the right, the one from my right-hand side. That emblem's a little rough for me.
Brandon, I put it up when I saw your background and thought I am not letting only New York be represented on this call.
I had a feeling that might have been in response there. So
oh, it
all
was.
Right. I just wanted to put the AFC East champions up there.
Okay.
So a couple of things. One, I don't know if anyone else encountered this, but with the last staff forum, I was logged into the forum and then left in waiting. And then people messaged me telling me that it had started. And so I had to actually leave the forum and come back in. So I don't know if that was a technical issue that folks were aware it happened. So I wanted to just bring that to your attention, Adam.
Thanks. Thank you. I did not know that.
Yeah, I was sitting waiting and texting someone, yeah, it should start soon. They're like, what are you talking about? It already started. So I left and came back in, and then it was on and going for me.
Just to let you know, now that I'm remembering back, we did have to sign out and sign back in because of the closed captioning during the forum last time. I think it will be remedied this time, so that shouldn't happen again. But I think that's what happened in that case.
Okay, good to know. And then just reading through the questions on that, you know, it's clear that the essential employee is the biggest topic. You know, if you look at that list of questions, that is the biggest topic of conversation. So I just wanted to put it out there that I think it's, you know, it might be a subject that we want to consider addressing specifically within the employee assembly, as obviously my group of constituents are primarily essential employees, as are several others on this group. I just wanted to kind of throw it out there that might be something that we want to speak to and consider. Understandably, that executives are working hard and diligently to try to ensure that they are being, you know, as equitable as possible in this process. However, there are some big concerns from my constituents that I'm addressing on a regular basis that I think we should consider taking up as a topic.
This is Hey. I know we had a lot of questions ranging from what is an essential, you know, worker, which is a question that we've seen in the past, and then a lot of questions addressing the needs of essential workers, particularly as it relates to safety. So I don't know if we, I don't know, Adam, if we want to address that at the top or have Mary address that in opening statements, maybe a message to essential staff, who they are, and what we're doing to either protect them or help them during this time, especially when they're the ones coming on campus.
You mean addressing it in like the opening statements of the next forum? Perhaps it would be, I mean, maybe if we give our panelists a heads up or talk with Mary and she can do that at the outset, I think that they'll benefit from us kind of like, as the EA, looking at these questions and really highlighting what we also know and what we're seeing as a critical issue for them to address. So yeah, let's maybe after this, you know, offline, hey, we can circle back and communicate that to Mary or the panelists or through Gina, however we want to do it. Okay, let's go to Jamie and then Brian after that.
Thanks, Adam. I got an email from a constituent today, and it was CC'd around to a few other people regarding the transportation department's response to parking permit charges. And I'm not sure exactly, I think it's something that we'd be good to pursue just because they have canceled parking enforcement, as far as I know, other than handicap and, you know, fire lanes or things like that. But for the most part, parking enforcement's canceled. And the only way for people to stop having that deduction is to actually send the parking pass back in, which seems like an added bureaucratic mess for them if suddenly, you know, hundreds, thousands of employees mail those back in. So it seems more like just a way to discourage it, which I don't know if is the right tact at this point. So it'd be nice if you know, is that something that we can reach out to transportation to talk about, or
I think that that warrants somebody reaching out. Would you be willing to take point on that one?
And, yeah, absolutely. I'd be willing
to. Yeah, I think it's a reasonable thing to try to find out at least more information on because I you know potentially thousands of people mailing back in their permits doesn't seem to make logical sense to me just to stop a deduction, but. Yeah, if you don't mind doing that, I think that would be great. Let's see. I'm sorry, Brian, you're next.
Hi. So now I got a couple things, but the first thing on the parking, Jamie, we've talked to some people about that already. Some of my staff have, and they said that they can give up their parking permit, but in some areas they have limited parking areas. So there's people waiting for in line for those parking, and they go to the next person, so they might not be able to get those parking spots back the way that their system's structured. So that's one of the reasons that they gave that it's going to create a logistical nightmare for them. Just so you know, one of my leads let me know that when people were asking, well, if we don't have to park, do we have to pay? So that was you take a chance of losing your parking spot if you don't. So that's one of the things. I actually raised my hand mainly because of the essential comment. Mary's forum, one of the things that she made a comment on, I think was really, really good, is we have no essential employees, we have essential functions. And I thought that was a strong comment. I thought it was a great comment because she's absolutely right. And it's the functions that the employee does that makes it essential. And so that's where they lean to. I thought an explanation of that was pretty good, but maybe it needs to be revisited and she can do it again at the next forum because I thought it was pretty strong.
Great. Thank you, Brian. All right. Other questions? I know several people reached out to me about wanting to talk about the email that we all just received. Again, this is open forum. Do people have questions, comments, concerns? I do think that it is possible, in fact, not possible, but likely that communication has raised a lot of anxiety across all the entire staff community. So it may be, it's very lucky that we have the staff forum, a second staff forum coming up, because I think it will change the game a little bit in terms of the kinds of questions we get. But it's something that we'll all need to be aware of, especially as we're talking with our constituents. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, on that issue, I have had people contact me asking me more questions about that. So it is raising a lot of questions from our constituents. I even had my supervisor ask me, what do you think that means? And I'm like, I don't know yet. I haven't really had time to dissolve it myself. I know that the last time they did a hiring freeze, they rolled right after that, the early retirement. So that's my question. Are they going to do that again? Are they looking at a reduction in staff or just a freeze? There's a lot of questions. So I guess we'll have to ponder that. I don't think we know enough information right now to make that palatable. So I guess there's lots of questions still.
Josh.
Yeah, so on the reduction in staff, FCSFM is laying off 86 tradespeople tomorrow. So yes, they're temporary employees hired through the union hall, but based on our force reduction of work, those people really can't work from home. So I don't necessarily think that's something to signify much of a trend, just so everyone knows. Everyone expected it, but just want people to be aware. We're laying off I have to lay off 15 people myself. I had to make all the calls last Thursday, and they're all coming in tomorrow to turn over everything they have. One of those people's worked here for 24 years. So there was no, hey, this person's been here a long time. Hey, this person's essential function to the group or to the work we still have to do to maintain the campus. It came across the board basically every time. So, just so everyone's aware.
One thing that we can do in terms of, there are going to be a lot of questions in terms of that email. You know, we sent out this list of questions that people had from the last staff forum, but this has come out in between that one and this one. If you all have questions yourself or that your constituents are hearing regarding that email, regarding the points raised in that email, can you jot them down and get them to Hey, because we can bump those up in terms of the next staff forum. You know, I think that at least a couple of questions on that should be in there, because it's going to be the biggest topic that everybody's going to be thinking of right now. If there are other things that we can do from our perspective or our abilities to lower anxiety, get more questions answered outside of the forum or things like that, I would like to see what we can do, because I mean, honestly, during a time mm-hmm. like this, I feel like, you know, anxiety, uncertainty, mental health in general is something that is affecting our employees as much as anything else. And that email may have that email may ratchet those concerns up. So I would love to see if there are any ideas about what we can do to help in that regard. Other questions, concerns, not necessarily on this topic. Again, I appreciate Brandon, you letting us know about your experience. We're trying with the last staff forum, we're trying to do better each time. So, you know, if there are any issues that people are having, any confusion, somebody sounds not good, anything like that, you know, this is a time where we can get those things to the people who are putting all of this together. I hope that I received a lot of positive feedback about the last forum. I hope you all did too. I think it went smoothly compared to the first one in terms of everybody being able to join. And it did some good out there. So I hope that you all felt that as well. If there's nothing else, I can entertain a motion to adjourn. I really thank you, Chris, again for starting the work on a resolution. It's something that's been on my mind for a while, and I just haven't been able to get to it. So I would very much be interested in working with you and anybody else, I think, who wants to join in on this. Chris put it on the box. You know, senior staff are doing a lot right now, and they're taking on a lot of burden and anxiety and stress themselves. And they should know that there are people looking out and thinking of them. So this is an important issue. But other than that, again, I'm willing to entertain a motion to adjourn. And I just thank you all for taking the time today. Again, I know that things have been shuffled around and things have been difficult for everybody. So I'm thinking of all of you as well. Brian, did you have a question or are you making a motion?
I am making a motion.
All right. Do we have a second?
For the second, if anybody wants to collaborate on the Zoom, resolution, well, the way I would suggest that we do it, so it's here in our EA folder, and I made it coronavirus COVID-19 recognition. If you click into the Word document here, on this right-hand side underneath activity, so if you click this speech bubble, this is where you can put comments. You can also at me at it. So I would ask that everybody kind of just put your feedback here on this side so that we can incorporate it. And I'll be the one that like keeps adding the language to it instead of necessarily people all going in and trying to do Word online. So let's see if we can give it a shot and how well this works, because I know it's a new use. Not everybody uses Box or these comments and all these kind of things. But it's sort of easier because otherwise it saves copies over copies and it gets like a little bit weird. So thanks. And I second that we adjourn.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Be safe, be healthy. Contact me anytime. And I hope you have a great rest of your day and a great week. All right. Take care.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.